Good evening, and welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands. Good evening, everyone. This is Arnold Dane. And our December one-night stand with the big bands, I think, has a special treat for you. Tonight, part one of a two-part salute to Cy Oliver, one of the most knowledgeable and likable veterans of the big band era. Well-known composer, singer, instrumentalist, genius arranger, and tonight we'll trace his early career right up through his years with that fabulous Jimmy Lunsford band, whose theme, Uptown Blues, is playing in the background. A one-night stand brought to you by Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks, where you'll find great savings on Santa specials, and by Mount Vernon Travel, experts in planning travel all over the world. Uptown Blues by Jimmy Lunsford's orchestra. In a moment, we'll meet our special guest, Cy Oliver, and we'll hear the Lunsford Band with one of their great hits called Rhythm Is Our Business. These days, it's almost impossible to give your car all the care it needs to stay in top condition without professional help. That's why it's important to remember these tips when you make that important purchase. Choose a car with a reputation for quality craftsmanship and buy from a dealer whose service department is dependable. When you buy from Russo Chevrolet and Windsor Locks, you've found a dealer you can rely on. It's hard to equal the satisfaction of buying from a car dealer who offers a wide selection of new Chevrolet cars and trucks combined with fair prices. Russo puts a sales staff with over 70 years of Chevrolet experience at your disposal. Their sales consultants will show you the wonderful features of the exciting new line of Chevrolets. Equally important to the Russo Chevrolet family is total service. Quality repairs by skilled mechanics who work with the latest equipment keep your car in the best condition possible. So for quality cars and dependable service, visit Russo Chevrolet, just 10 minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit from I-91, then the first exit to RUSSO, Russo Chevrolet.
Thank you. picks all those dreams, happiness you he brings. He plays on the trumpet in the band. Steve blows all that trumpet in the band. Oh, he's sky, hits him high, makes you think he's in the sky. On rhythm is our business.
Melvin James Oliver.
That's my name.
I didn't realize that until I started checking some of the background here. Born in Battle Creek, Michigan, December 17th, 1910.
I'm supposed to say that last bit softly.
Of musical parents, his mother played piano and Cy became a trumpeter like his father.
No, Dad actually wasn't a trumpeter. Dad played everything. He played string instruments, saxophone.
Believe everything you read.
That's true, isn't it? My father was one of the first men in the country to own a saxophone. He demonstrated the saxophone for Conn for years. He traveled around the country and demonstrated. He was playing saxophone in bands. I don't remember because I was a baby, but we were in Atlantic City one summer, and he was there for the purpose of playing with the local brass band to demonstrate the saxophone. It was so far back that they didn't even write music for saxophones. Saxophone parts were not included in the band stations. And he would have to transpose a baritone horn part or something of the sort. And, of course, this is a family story. I was too young to remember, but he'd go down march down the street with the band, and people would follow along, marching right beside him, to look at the instrument, which he'd never seen before.
Isn't that amazing?
This is back in the 1910, 1911, along in there.
Did you pick trumpet yourself, or did he want you to play trumpet?
No, I picked a trumpet because, this is a heck of a way to start a career, but I had a friend named Al Sears, whom you probably know of. He played tenor saxophone with Duke Ellington for some time. And Al and I were inseparable. Well, my family was rather conservative, and one of the things that I had to be home by dark. And if I wasn't, there had to be an excellent reason, you know. Well, Al was playing with the local orchestra. He was very precocious. He was 11 or 12 years old. He was really an outstanding saxophone player, and he was playing with the local orchestra. And the only interest I had was being able to stay out at night. I wasn't interested in learning to play an instrument, and they needed a trumpet player. Well, earlier on, when I was quite young, as a matter of fact, even before I started school, my parents started me on piano. And I didn't like it. I didn't like to practice, and they didn't insist. My parents were way ahead of the times in the parent-child relationship. They didn't take a club and make me sit there at the piano and put in hours. My father simply said if I ever wanted to learn to play an instrument, to let him know, and he'd get it for me and teach me. So my first year in high school, I was not quite 13. And then, as I say, the local orchestra needed a trumpet player, and I told my father I'd like to learn to play trumpet. He said, very well, and he got me a trumpet. He got a Sears Roebuck, cost $9.75. And he showed me how to run the scale, and I started practicing, one objective, to play with his orchestra. At the time, my father wasn't well. I didn't realize it then, but he couldn't give me too much attention. And, you know, kids never know what's going on with their parents, and they're just their parents. They don't think of them as people. And I came to know it later, of course, that he was in great difficulty physically because, as you'll see in my story. Well, I learned to play the darn thing practically by myself. And in a very short while, I was ready to play with the local orchestra. Literally, I was playing in the high school band, the high school orchestra, and I learned very quickly. And I came to my father and said, well, Dad, I have a job. He said, good, what are you going to do now? I was always doing something. He said, what are you planning to do now? I said, I'm going to play with Cliff Barnett's orchestra. He said, oh, no, you're not. Of course, they had plans for me to go to school in those days. The only possible salvation for a Negro in this society was education. And, of course, I knew that. It was a part of my plan, too. I wanted to go to school. In fact, I was years getting over the obsession to get into college. However, my father said no, and that settled that. I continued playing with the school band and orchestra, but I couldn't go out and rehearse at my Cliff Barnett's Club Royal Serenaders. And a year later, my father had a stroke, which turned out to be terminal. He never recovered. And I began playing with the orchestra then because it was the only thing I could do to earn money. I was the oldest of six children. It was the only thing I could do to earn money and stay in school, stay in high school. That's how I got into the music business. That's how I haven't started playing trumpet, because I needed a trumpet player.
Si, let's jump ahead a bit to September 4th of 1934. You were with the Jimmy Lunsford Band, and you recorded something called Black and Tan Fantasy. Do you remember arranging that one?
Yes, I did that. I always liked Duke's Band very much. In fact, one of the things that got me hooked on music, one of the earliest records to my recollection, was Duke's East St. Louis Toodaloo. I think on the other side was a Birmingham Breakdown. I first heard those things about 1926-27. I think they were recorded in 1926. They were among his earliest records. And I always liked the band. The band had a unique sound. There's never been another band like it. And Black and Tan happened to me. I liked the squawk trumpet, the plunger trumpet. I played that way myself.
Right, you did the solo in this recording.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And Willie Smith played a clarinet solo in it, too. They had the Black and Tan Fantasy, played by Jimmy Lunsford and the orchestra, as arranged by our special guest, Si Oliver. If you expect both expert counseling and concerned individual attention when you consult a travel agency, you'll be pleased to know that Mount Vernon Travel of Westchester County, New York, has now extended its excellent services to the greater Hartford area. Mount Vernon Travel has been faithfully serving the Westchester area for nearly 40 years. They've made all types of travel plans and sent happy, satisfied clients all over the world. That's because Mount Vernon Travel knows its business, and, most importantly, they care about you. Mount Vernon Travel makes your comfort and peace of mind their top priorities. They'll plan every aspect of your trip, from the first exciting step outside your door to your safe return home. And best of all, it won't cost you a nickel more than what you would have paid had you planned it all by yourself. Why not let Mount Vernon Travel handle all the details? Why not let real experts handle your travel plans? Visit Mount Vernon Travel, 103 Kinsley Street at the Hotel Sonesta, Hartford, or call 549-6500. Si, I'd like to hear that song, Rain, that was recorded by the Jimmy Lunsford Band. It featured the vocal trio that was so closely identified with Lunsford.
Yes, sir. I like that. I like the tune. We used to get a good blend. It was funny, too, considering the fact that none of us really had solo voices. But we would sing softly and try to eliminate I used to say, take the personality out of your voice, and it would blend well, you know.
The three of you blended so beautifully together.
Yes, it had a good effect.
With the vocal trio, Jimmy Lunsford and the orchestra in a song called Rain. Let's get back to your early career, if we can, Si. I know that you were very interested in athletics. It's a good thing that you found some time to practice because it turned out to be a pretty good investment. You were an athletic type, weren't you?
Yes. The whole thing tended to make me more interested in music because at the time Dad became ill. I was also, aside playing with the orchestra, I was working before school and after school, you know, it's raising six youngsters is quite a problem. And I just didn't have time for athletics. And of course, as a consequence, I concentrated more on the music than I would have otherwise. And early on, immediately, I began attempting to write. Of course, the idea of writing music wasn't foreign to me. My father was an arranger. He had a choir, which was quite popular through the Middle West, called the Junior Choir. It was made up of youngsters, teenagers. They used to travel all over Ohio. And my father used to make the choral arrangements. And he also did things for the local brass band, you know. So the idea of writing music wasn't foreign to me. You know, most people think music is born full-blown on a printed page. They don't realize that everything that's printed has to be written and thought of by a person. So when I ran into difficulties trying to communicate my ideas to the musicians, things that I wanted to play, back in those days, most bands played what they call head arrangements and get together and make things up. And you had to remember your own part. And because I was a youngster, quite often they wouldn't pay any attention to what I was saying, so I began writing things down just to stay out of confrontations, so to speak. So that's how I started writing.
And when you were, what, about 17, you joined,
Zach White, yes.
Zach White's Chocolate Bull Brummels.
Chocolate Bull Brummels. Back in those days, all bands had names, you know. And that band was situated in Cincinnati, and I joined them in 1928.
This meant leaving home then for the first time?
Well, I had finished high school, yes. It was the first time I left home. I finished high school. Matter of fact, I finished high school and left home the next day.
Let's talk a bit about the Zach White Band, if we can, Si. What kind of a band was it? How large?
The instrumentation varied from time to time, but basically it was three saxophones and four brass and rhythm section.
Was it a local Cincinnati band?
Cincinnati band, yes. The fellows weren't all from Cincinnati. As a matter of fact, the band, the nucleus of the band came from Kentucky. And the fellows, Zach had known all the fellows, and Zach was running a ballroom in Cincinnati. He wasn't a musician. He was a promoter. And the band came up to play for him and was successful, and he sort of took it over, and it became sort of a house band in his ballroom, and it wouldn't just develop from there. It wasn't anything anybody planned. It just happened. He was a good front man, very personable. As you remember, back in those days, very few leaders were musicians. At the time, Cab Calloway had his band. He wasn't a musician. Of course, he learned a lot about music and became an excellent conductor. But usually, the guy in front of the band was a showman.
And your next stride from that band was right to Jimmy Lunsford?
No. I was with a band called Alfonso Trent for a while. Then I was still pursuing the idea of going to school. I left the bands. I left the road and went to Columbus, Ohio. I had a studio there. I was teaching kids at Ohio State, arranging for the Ohio State bands, local bands. And I also had a small group and a club there. I was there for about 2 years. And during that time, I made some arrangements for Jimmy's band, Lunsford's band. So when I decided to go east, he offered me a job. And I took the job to come to New York to go to school. I had registered with a false address at the City College. I was all ready to go. I came here to go to school. We came to New York, and the band was an overnight sensation. And I just never did get to school.
The Lord was riding with you all the way, Jimmy. Whatever you set out to do, you did it in kind of an oblique way, but it sure turned out to be the best arrangement.
You're listening to our special guest, Si Oliver, on 1080 Radio. This is WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, on a one-night stand with the big bands being brought to you by Mount Vernon Travel, travel planners who care about you, and by Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. The nicest part about owning one of America's favorite mid-size cars is that you get room for a full-size family at a mid-size price. Yes, the roominess of the Chevrolet Malibu has made it a popular car for many who want the beauty and comfort of a larger car without having to spend the money. And right now at Russo Chevrolet in Windsor Locks, you can find a beautiful, brand new 73 Malibu at a great sale price during Santa's special days. Listen to this. Russo has the 1973 Malibu two-door hardtop that used to sell for $36.54. Now, during Santa specials, it's just $3,219. Where else can you get such remarkable savings on a brand new car? Russo Chevrolet urges you to visit them soon because Santa specials last no longer than December 25th. See the all-new Chevrolet Malibu for 1973 at sale prices now at Russo Chevrolet, just 10 minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit from I-91, then the first exit to Russo Chevrolet. Cy, back to the music now of the Jimmy Lunsford Band. One of my favorite selections from that group was Organ Grinder Swing.
There again, it was just something that I liked very much. I thought it was cute. I like humorous music. You know, I always thought that was a cute thing.
There was no vocal on that one, was there?
No. Mm-hmm. Not much music either.
But it goes on and on. That was recorded August of 1936. I guess that was kind of a particularly good time for this band, wasn't it?
Yes, well, they were coming in their own then. We'd been in New York about 3 years at that point.
I dug this out of our file, too, and I don't think I've heard it since it was a popular song. You know, I was in knee pants myself at the time. One called The Merry-Go-Round Broke Down.
Oh, yes. There again, there was one of those tongue-in-cheek things. Hello, we used to have a lot of fun with that, as you see. You can see why when you hear the record.
That's a cute number by Cy Oliver and Jimmy Lunsford's orchestra. The merry-go-round broke down. The devout ski enthusiast likes to explore, try new and different slopes, confront new challenges. Now Explorer Tours, a division of Mount Vernon Travel Corporation of Hartford, introduces a new and exciting concept in skiing. On Explorer Tours, you'll explore new slopes each weekend in the breathtaking mountains of Vermont and Canada. Weekend excursions soon to be taken include Magic Mountain, Timber Ridge, Big Bramley, Mount Gabriel, and Stratton Mountain. Departures from the Hotel Sonesta every Friday throughout the season, beginning January 5th. These deluxe Explorer Tour packages include round-trip transportation, luxury accommodations for two nights, full breakfasts and dinners, all taxes and tips, and all lift tickets, plus many extras. Prices range from only $62.50 to only $79. Make your reservations today. Call Explorer Tours, 549-6500, or come in and visit at 103 Kinsley Street at the Hotel Sonesta in Hartford. Cy, one of the great things about the Jimmy Lunsford Band was that it was not only a fine musical group, but I understand it was a flamboyant outfit, too. It was great not only to listen to, but also to look at.
Well, that's true. It was due to two factors. First of all, the fellows were young and enthusiastic. Also, there was a great deal of section rivalry. The sections are always interested in doing something to attract attention away from the other section.
I've heard about that. Yes. They would actually, if somebody goofed in one of the other sections, you know, if it happened in the sax section, the trumpeters and the trombonists would all be delighted about it.
Well, we had a thing, this is very funny, we were broadcasting in the Cotton Club. And the fellows, if one of the saxophone sections made a mistake, the brass section would stomp. I mean, stomp hard, you know. Well, we were on there, we were broadcasting, and we were on a shell, on a band shell, a platform, you know, the risers way up above the floor. Naturally, the fellows would stomp. It was like a soundboard, like stomping on a drum. And here we were on network, coast-to-coast radio. You could imagine what this sounded like. So Lunsford stopped the stomping. Well, next they turned to hitting on their, the brass would hit on their derbies with their mouthpieces. It was like, bang, you know, so this is just as bad. And, of course, the saxophones in retaliation would tap on the music stands with their mouthpiece caps. That made just as much racket. Don't get the idea that there were that many mistakes. But Zill Lunsford stopped that. So the next thing that happened, we were playing something one night, and if you remember, there was a kid in the band named Tommy Stevenson at that time. He used to play these fantastically high notes. So this time on a broadcast, he missed the high note on the end of the last number, and there was a dead silence from the band. We couldn't stomp. We couldn't strike on the mouthpieces or anything because Jimmy had stopped it. So while the announcer was signing us off, Joe Thomas snapped his fingers. He couldn't do anything, so he snapped his fingers. Bang! And he could pop his fingers as loud as a firecracker. That was one of the funniest things that ever happened to that band.
Tommy Stevenson was one of the first great screechers, I understand.
He was. He, well, you know, playing high notes on a trumpet comparable to any other athletic feat, once one guy does it, everybody realizes it can't be done, and they wind up doing it. But he was one of the first. Louis Armstrong, of course, was the very first. And Steve began playing at least a fifth higher than Louis. Louis was making Fs on the end of the records, and Steve started going up to B-flat, to altissimo B-flat, which attracted a lot of attention, of course.
He was also, isn't he the one that came up with the idea of waving the derbies?
Well, no, he didn't. Steve was the one who would set the patterns. Steve would start something. He was highly imaginative. He would do something one night, and Eddie Tompkins and myself were the other two trumpet players. And we would remember it and do it the second night, and we had to pin Steve down because he was off to something new.
And you'd have one section rolling one way and the other another way and so
yes,
on.
And most of those things weren't rehearsed either. In fact, none of them were rehearsed. It was just spontaneous, and then they'd remember what they'd done if it were effective and continue using it.
I've heard, too, Cy, that that sectional rivalry went to the point where the saxes would sit by themselves and rehearse by the hour.
I've seen them sit in a hotel room and rehearse all day long. Just nobody told them to do it. They would just do it.
Tremendous love of music, then.
Yes, great, great esprit de corps.
It was unusual, too, to find a five-man sax section then, wasn't it? Most of the bands were using four, as I recall.
Well, we didn't have five in the beginning. We only had four. Jimmy played sometimes on some of the things, some of the ensemble things, but we only had four, and then later we added the other saxophone.
Was Jacques Carruthers in that band?
Oh, yes. Jacques was in the band when I joined.
What did he play?
Baritone and alto.
Uh-huh.
And a funny thing about the baritone, too. at the time I joined the band, the baritone saxophone wasn't being used in bands. And I began writing things with the unison bass line, things like For Dancers Only, if you remember. And I remember, too, we did called Nana that had a flowing bass line of that nature. Well, Manny, who later became the proprietor of Manny's Music Store, was a Kahn instrument salesman at that time. He was a salesman for Kahn. And he was very popular in New York. And our band, as I said earlier, was broadcasting, and it was, everybody was listening to it. So the saxophone players heard the baritone effects, and they began ordering baritones from Manny. Now, we all knew Manny very well. He sold us our instruments when we first came to New York. So for about 6 months, Manny was selling baritones like hotcakes. And then all at once, the guys started bringing them back because nobody was writing for baritones. They bought the instruments and had no place to play them. Of course, now everybody uses a baritone saxophone. Yes. But that band actually made the baritone popular.
Yeah, that's right. Cy, there's one number that I enjoy so much done by the Jimmy Lunsford Band, one of those great ones that you wrote. It's been described as formidable. Let's listen to For Dancers Only. Great recording of For Dancers Only by the Jimmy Lunsford Band. These days, it's almost impossible to give your car all the care it needs to stay in top condition without professional help. That's why it's important to remember these tips when you make that important purchase. Choose a car with a reputation for quality craftsmanship and buy from a dealer whose service department is dependable. When you buy from Russo Chevrolet and Windsor Locks, you've found a dealer you can rely on. It's hard to equal the satisfaction of buying from a car dealer who offers a wide selection of new Chevrolet cars and trucks combined with fair prices. Russo puts a sales staff with over 70 years of Chevrolet experience at your disposal. Their sales consultants will show you the wonderful features of the exciting new line of Chevrolets. Equally important to the Russo Chevrolet family is total service. Quality repairs by skilled mechanics who work with the latest equipment keep your car in the best possible condition. So for quality cars and dependable service, visit Russo Chevrolet, just 10 minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit from I-91, then the first exit to Russo Chevrolet. Now let's get back to our conversation with Cy Oliver. Cy, do you remember a number called Coquette?
Oh, that was one of my favorites. It was quite popular, too. If I remember correctly, when it first came out, it was on the back of For Dancers Only, which is an instrumental of mine. And they were both... that was one of the things that happened to us frequently. It used to always upset everybody involved very much. You know, it's a terrible thing to have a hit on both sides of a record. It kills your sales, you know. We had another instance of that was, For Dancers Only and Coquette were both quite popular. Another instance of that was Cheating on Me and Tell You What You Do. They were on the same record.
Mm-hmm. What a bargain for the record buyer. Sweet Sue, I Have a Star by that one. I think that's a special favorite, isn't it?
Yes, this was one of those exercises in arranging. I rarely do this sort of thing, but if you notice, it keeps changing keys. La da dee dee dee, da da dee 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 dee. It changes down to tremolo solo, I believe it is. Oh, the interesting thing about this record, though, the vocal was supposed to have been done by Trummy Young. And I had written the vocal and the background to fit it, as you will see when you play the thing. But it was for Trummy's style. And the day of the recording day, Trummy had laryngitis and couldn't sing it. And that's how I happened to do the vocal.
Guess who got the job?
And that happened to me frequently. I rarely assign myself a solo, unless it was something like Beach of Ballyballe or Ms. Otis Regrets. It's one of those funny things that you couldn't ask any self-respecting singer to do. I do it myself.
Every star above, baby, knows the one I love, Sweet Sue. J- just you. And the moon on high, baby knows the reason why. Sweet Sue, it's you. No one else has seen, ever shares my dream. Without you, don't know what I'd do. In this heart of mine, you'd live all the time. Ooh, Sue, just you.
And there you have Cy Oliver with Jimmy Lunsford and the orchestra and Sweet Sue, Just You. If you expect both expert counseling and concerned individual attention when you consult a travel agency, you'll be pleased to know that Mount Vernon Travel of Westchester County, New York has now extended its excellent services to the greater Hartford area. Mount Vernon Travel has been faithfully serving the Westchester area for nearly 40 years. They've made all types of travel plans and sent happy, satisfied clients all over the world. That's because Mount Vernon Travel knows its business, and, most importantly, they care about you. Mount Vernon Travel makes your comfort and peace of mind their top priorities. They'll plan every aspect of your trip, from the first exciting step outside your door to your safe return home. And best of all, it won't cost you a nickel more than what you would have paid had you planned it all by yourself. Why not let Mount Vernon Travel handle all the details? Why not let real experts handle your travel plans? Visit Mount Vernon Travel, 103 Kinsley Street at the Hotel Sonesta, Hartford, or call 549-6500. Any salute to the music of Jimmy Lunsford would be incomplete without including this one. It was recorded the 23rd of December, 1935 in New York City at the same session that produced I'm Nuts About Screwy Music and The Best Things in Life Are Free. Featuring the vocal trio, here is My Blue Heaven. Thank you.
nestles where the roses bloom. Molly and me, baby makes three. Stuff is dead and it's mellow in my blue heaven. Molly and me, we're happy, just we three.
So it's theme time again, time for Uptown Blues, being played by the Jimmy Lunsford Band. Our special guest on a one-night stand has been Cy Oliver. There's so much more to talk about, so much more of the incomparable Jimmy Lunsford to listen to, that part two of this presentation will be held next month on our one-night stand with the big bands, Wednesday, January 10th, 9:05 till 10 on WTIC Radio, and I hope you'll join Cy Oliver and me again then. Our program was produced and edited by Brian Hartnett. Our location and studio engineer was Ben Zinkerman. And a one-night stand featuring Cy Oliver has been brought to you by Mount Vernon Travel, travel planners who care about you, and by Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks, where you'll find quality cars and dependable service at fair prices. This is Arnold Dane. We'll see you again with Cy Oliver and the music of Jimmy Lunsford Wednesday, January 10th on a one-night stand with the big bands.